I doubt if I will ever write my memoirs. I think I'll probably save you from that. But if I did, there would probably be a chapter in that book which would be devoted to the things that people say to their minister on the way out the door. But I'd have to wait until certain people were no longer with us before it could be published. But not that long ago, as somebody walked out the door, they said to me, "Stephen, why do we say that thing at the end of the service?" And I have to confess, I was baffled, for I didn't know what they meant by that thing. But apparently that thing was what we call the grace. And so I pointed out quickly, as you do at the door, that it was just a direct quote from 2 Corinthians. May read it for us a few moments ago. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Well, we say it together, not as a full stop to close our service, but I think there are two reasons. One is this: it is a lovely statement of what we have in God, that grace, that love, that fellowship. It's also a great reminder that the Trinity, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is for us. God is for us. It's a prayer for each other. As we head off into whatever the days ahead hold for us, we pray that we may not only know these things in our heads, but experience in our lives that grace, that love, that fellowship, which is ours because of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, down through the years, tomes have been written to try and help us understand the Trinity, and I'll have to be honest and say it is to me a mystery. But none of us will ever fully understand the Trinity. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't try, but it does mean that the important thing is that we realize the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is with us and for us, and that is a truly amazing thing. The Trinity reminds us of many things. It reminds us that Jesus is not simply a man who is a great teacher or a wonderful example, and he certainly is those things. The Trinity reminds us that Jesus, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, is God. Because if Jesus is just a good example for us, then we will be crushed because we will never, never become like him in our own strength. And we will be crushed. He is so much more. He is God. That reminder is important. Jesus, yes, is fully human, but also fully God. Who else could speak with such authority? Who else could heal the sick and calm the storm? Who else could forgive sins? Who else could call Lazarus out of his grave? Only God. And when Jesus dies on the cross in our place, it is God taking our sins on himself, paying the price. The Trinity also reminds us that the Holy Spirit is not some impersonal force, a bit like something from Star Wars, "May the Force be with you." The Holy Spirit is also God, also personal. So when speaking of the Holy Spirit, Jesus speaks of he, not it. Listen to Jesus from John chapter 16. "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." So for many reasons, the Trinity is so important. Now that word Trinity never appears in our Bible, but the truth that it contains is found all the way through Scripture. And the fact that it is a mystery, the fact that it is beyond our understanding, is a great thing. Because if you and I could fully understand God, if we could fit God and his ways into our little heads, then he wouldn't be much of a God. He would be no greater than either you or I. And he certainly would not be able to save us. He would not be the God who is making all things new. He would not be the God who will one day wipe all tears from our eyes. One of the early Christian creeds puts it this way: the Father is uncreated, the Son is uncreated, the Spirit is uncreated. The Father is immeasurable, the Son is immeasurable, the Holy Spirit is immeasurable. The Father is eternal, the Son is eternal, the Holy Spirit is eternal. So there are not three uncreated, immeasurable beings. There is but one uncreated, immeasurable, an eternal being. This is our God. Uncreated, immeasurable, eternal. And how do we respond to such a God? Well, we've already sung it this morning. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons. Blessed Trinity leads us into this wonder of worship. Now, some people have listened to that last verse of 2 Corinthians and asked, well, why have we changed the order of things? Why is it grace and then love? Why is it not love first? Well, someone has pointed out, if you go to visit someone else, which comes first, their door or their house? Or the house or the door? Grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is the doorway to God's love. But that grace, that love, that fellowship can't be experienced separately. Just as a house is not a home without a door, or a door without a house, they're one and the same. Grace and love and fellowship. Without the grace of Jesus Christ, we would be dead in our trespasses and sins. Without the love of God, we would be his enemies. Without the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we would not have access to God. Just as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit cannot be pulled apart, neither can their grace, love, and fellowship. In many ways, we are still reeling after the pandemic. And now we face a looming economic crisis. A horrible and brutal war still rages in Ukraine and wars in many other places. Environmental disaster seems to be on the horizon, and the list goes on. So in these troubled and uncertain days, we do not need a God that we can fully understand. We don't need a God that we can fit into our heads. Listen to what the Bible says. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the God we need, the God who is greater than us. Listen again to Ephesians, where Paul reminds us of who this God is. This is the God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. This is the God we need, the God who can be trusted in everything. We often sing, our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. But sometimes we relegate it as a truth for children. But it isn't just for the children. All of us need to be reminded that our God is a great big God, and yet he holds us in his hands. Our children are learning a new song in JAM, in our Jesus and Me program. I'm not going to sing you the line, but I'll tell you the line, and here it goes. Nothing's too big, big, big for his power. Nothing's too teeny weeny for his care. It's a catchy song when you hear it, but it's also great theology. Nothing's too big for his power. His arm is not too short to save. With God, nothing is impossible. Nothing's too teeny-weeny for his care. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. The reminder of the Trinity as we say together the words of the grace should draw us deeper into the very worship of God as we experience new depths of his grace, his love, his fellowship. We will be changed into the people that he wants us to be. The start of that passage from 2 Corinthians was read for us earlier, simply says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. God is holding us in his hands, not just for these difficult days, but for every day, for eternity. So this morning, have you opened yourself to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been led through that doorway of grace into the very love of God to experience the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. St. Patrick is supposed to have used the three leaves of a shamrock to illustrate the Trinity. And he also wrote what we know as St. Patrick's breastplate, which begins and ends with the strength of the Trinity. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three, of whom all nature hath creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Word, praise to the Lord of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ the Lord. This was his prayer upon waking. If you like, it was the very first thing he did was to bind himself to the strong name of the Trinity. So at the close of our services, and again this morning at the close of our service, we say the words of the grace. If you like, it's to bind ourselves to the strong name of the Trinity. To commit each other, not to some small, impersonal, limited God, but rather to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in this uncreated, immeasurable, eternal God, we will find unshakable hope and unfailing reassurance, which, after all, is what you and I need in these days.